written on the face of a god," he said, "or any other part. But you said there used to be a gold statue of him in the big hall, Mr. Grote. People must have looked on it all the time." Grote hesitated, but Stanley was a growing lad. He'd have to know sooner or later. "Mind you, I don't reckon people used to look at his face much," he said. "They looked more at the wings." "On his hat and ankles," said Stanley, "so he could fly the messages at the speed of messages." A little bead of sweat dripped off Grote's forehead. "Mostly on his hat and ankles, yes," he said. But not only there." Stanley peered at the picture. "Oh, yes. I've never noticed them before. He's got wings on the fig leaf," said Grote quickly. "That's what we call it." "Why has he got a leaf there?" said Stanley. "Oh, they all had them in the olden days, 'cause of being classical," said Grote, relieved to be shifting away from the heart of the matter. "It's a fig leaf off a fig tree." "Ha, ha, the joke's on them. There's no fig trees round here," said Stanley, in the manner of one exposing the flaw in a long-held dogma. "Yes, Dad, very good. But it was a tin one anyway," said Grote, with patience. "And the wings?" said the boy. "Well, I suppose they thought that the more wings the better," said Grote. "Yes, but supposing his hat wings and his ankle wings stop working, he'd be held up by..." "Stanley, it's just a statue. Don't get so excited. Calm down. You don't want to upset them." Stanley hung his head. "They've been whispering to me again, Mr. Grote," he confided in a low voice. "Yes, Stanley, they whisper to me too. I remember them last time talking in the night, Mr. Grote," said Stanley, his voice trembling. "I shut my eyes and I kept seeing the writing." "Yes, Stanley, don't worry about it. Try not to think about it. It's Mr. Lipstick's fault stirring them up. Leave well alone, I say. They never listen, and then what happens? They find out the hard way. It seems like only yesterday those watchmen drawing that chalk outline around Mr. Mutable," said Stanley, beginning to tremble. He found out the hard way." "Calm down, calm down," said Grote, patting him gently on the shoulder. "You'll set them off. Think about pins." "But it's a cruel shame, Mr. Grote, them never being alive long enough to make you senior postman," Grote sniffed. "Oh, that's enough of that. That's not important, Stanley," he said, his face like thunder. "Yes, Mr. Grote, but you're an old, old man, and you're only a junior postman," Stanley persisted. "I said that's enough, Stanley." "Now just raise that lamp again, will you? Good. That's better. I'll read a page of the regulations. That always quietens them down." Grote cleared his throat. "I shall now read from the Book of Regulations, Delivery Times, Metropolitan, Sundays and Octodays Accepted," he announced to the air, "as follows. The hours by which letters should be put into the receiving houses in town for each delivery within the city walls of Ankh-Morpork are as the following. Overnight by 8 o'clock in the evening for the first delivery. Morning by 8 o'clock for the second delivery. Morning by 10 o'clock for the third delivery. Morning by 12 o'clock for the fourth delivery. Afternoon by 2 o'clock for the fifth delivery. Afternoon by 4 o'clock for the sixth delivery. Afternoon by 6 o'clock for the seventh delivery. These are the hours, and I have read them." Grote hung his head for a moment and then closed the book with a snap. "Why are we doing this, Mr. Grote?" said Stanley meekly. "'Cause of hubris," said Mr. Grote. "That's what it is. Hubris killed the post office. Hubris and greed and bloody stupid Johnson and the new pie." "A pie, Mr. Grote? How could a pie..." "Don't ask, Stanley. It gets complicated and there's nothing in it about pins." They put out the candles and left. When they were gone, a faint whispering started. Chapter 3. Our Own Hand or None, in which our hero discovers the world of pins. The Greengrocer's Apostrophe. SWALK. The Path of Fate. The Golem Lady. The Business of Business and the Nature of Freedom once again discussed. Clark Bryan shows enthusiasm.
"Rise on shine, Mr. Lipvig, your second day as postmaster."
Moist opened one crusted eye and glared at the golem. "Oh, so you're an alarm clock too," he said,
Ah,